we also see that when they have more fiber in the diet, then they also have more available energy from the fermentation going on in the hindgut, also during farrowing, where the sows do not really get up and eat, but they still need a lot of energy to go through the farrowing process. So that is one thing, sort of focusing on the farrowing and how we can help the sow there.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemin.com/swine. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit Barnes-NA.com/animal nutrition. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Herd software aligns your data. Guilt aligns your people. GetGuilt.com.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we explore the science behind swine nutrition. I'm your host, Jorge Estrada. And today in our podcast, we have Dr. Anja Strath, who is an associate professor at the Department of Veterinary and Animal Sciences at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark. Today, we'll be talking about feeding sows during the transition from gestation to lactation. Dr. Strath, welcome to the podcast and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's great having you. And then since this is a short episode, might as well just jump into our discussion. So we're going to be talking about, you know, feeding sows during the transition period, right? It's a critical period for a sow. So let's start with defining, what does it mean? Why is it so important?
Well, I think it's very important because we see that the sows are very challenged in this period. And we know that physiologically, a lot of things are going on because there's a change during the reproductive cycle. So we know that there are big changes physiologically going on. But we also see that they are under very high pressure. We can see increased levels of, for instance, oxidative stress during late gestation and lactation. But we also know that sort of the very critical things going on around farrowing can really affect how fast the sows get on and get started with their lactation afterwards. And especially in Denmark, where we also have, we are very challenged in many farms with very high sow mortality. We see that a lot of these sows that dies on the farm or is euthanized on the farms, they actually die just around farrowing, which sort of emphasizes that they are really under high pressure in this period. And this is why we probably need to learn more why and what is going on here and how can we actually support the sows in this period to get started well on their lactation afterwards. Yeah.
Great. And let's go to, you know, of course, you know, feeding the sow differently or whatnot. One of the main objectives is, you know, of course, you know, produce enough milk for those pigs that she's producing. So how's this, you know, feeding during the transition connected to early preween survivability of the piglets?
Well, first of all, I think it's very much connected to how the sow performance during farrowing. So we definitely see that if the sows have very long farrowings, then we will have a lot of stillborn piglets and we will have a lot of weak piglets. So if we somehow can prevent farrowings to becoming too long, then we already have helped the piglets at birth. And I mean, we have a lot of discussions and research going on in Denmark, especially on fiber types and levels of fiber in this transition feed, because we really see that it helps the sow during farrowing. I think both that it prevents the sows from becoming constipated, because that's also a risk factor for having these very long farrowings. And then it's also very important regarding just the health of their gut and how they get started on their lactation afterwards. And we also see that when they have more fiber in the diet, then they also have more available energy from the fermentation going on in the hindgut, also during farrowing, where the sows do not really get up and eat, but they still need a lot of energy to go through the farrowing process. So that is one thing, sort of focusing on the farrowing and how we can help the sow there. I have some projects going on now where we focus a lot on both getting more knowledge on other balances or imbalances in the sow around farrowing. So we look a lot into the acid-base balances, salt balances, blood gases and hemoglobin. How do they transport oxygen during and just after farrowing? And then, of course, can we do something through nutrition of the sow to sort of balance them more? And here we're looking into different things. We're just finishing a project on histidine in a dose response trial in the transition diet and lactation with focus around farrowing. And we'll also look at more into the sort of salt balances and if we can do something on the diets there. And then, of course, I think if we can balance the sow more around farrowing, then she will also have a better chance to get started on her lactation, and she will have more vital piglets that will be better at getting to the udder and get the colostrum, which is so important. And we do see that also some of the studies on transition feeding do have a positive impact also on the colostrum production. It's very complex, but also very interesting, of course, yeah.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your pig's physiology to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Ambitine, Flow Matrix, and Endura, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in swine production. From gut health to growth performance, together we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and you gave us some hints on, you know, some of the things that you have been researching, you know. So, but this is a nutrition podcast, so might as well ask the question. So, when we think about diets or nutrients that are important during the transition from gestation to lactation, what are we talking about? You mentioned a little bit of the acid balance. What else are you understanding in order to make that transition better?
So we have done the study where we do blood samplings on the sow during farrowing to see what's actually going on and how can we change things. So we will do, we did study now on histidine, as I mentioned, because we know histidine can have an impact on, for instance, hemoglobin and the transport of oxygen, which might help the sow not going into fatigue during a farrowing process. And then we also know that histidine, for instance, can be converted into another compound called carnosine in the muscles, which might also prevent the sows from going into fatigue. So this is sort of the angle on the histidine. And then later on, we'll actually do a study on potassium because that haven't really been studied a lot in sows. And what we know when we look at potassium is that it's the levels are, for instance, very high in colostrum, and then it decreases, but it's very high in colostrum. So it seems like the sow might have a need for it. But because we have also lowered our classical diets in lactation unit in fiber, then there might be a lower content of potassium in the diets. So that's why. So it's very speculative, but we are trying to play around with that. Then for the fiber, which is something we really look into a lot in Denmark, both which sources and can we do some kind of alternative sources. We have been using a lot of sugar beet pulp. Right now, it's not that popular anymore, so the feed companies come up with new things. I did a study, a smaller pilot study, recently with the resistant potato starch during the transition period, where we looked at this part about how does it affect the gut health of the sow and constipation. And because resistant starch is not fiber, but it acts like fiber. So that's why we try to put it in the diet. And we actually did see that it made the sow had a more stable pH in the intestine. We also saw sows were less constipated compared with the control sows during farrowing. So we can definitely do something here as well. Yeah.
Excellent. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have today, but we will most certainly stay tuned with your research, because trying to better understand how to feed those sows during that period is very important. You know, I mean, from the practical standpoint, a lot of systems are not ready to have a transition diet, but I'm sure if there is enough research out there and we can adjust to it, right? And we have to. So, Dr. Strath, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a nice day.
Everyone else, thanks for listening to the Strength Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us some great comments, and join us in our next episode.